Hello, Remo Guya.
Hi, Verena. Great to be here.
Hello back, audience. I hope everybody had a good holiday season for those who celebrated the past weekend holidays. As a reminder, in this series, we're talking about how we can generate more and deeper value in healthcare across sectors and silos, across patient, providers, pharma, payer, and policymakers. It is my distinct pleasure today to welcome Dr. Remo Guya, who today is general manager at Bristol-Myers Squibb, Switzerland and Austria, but that is not as simple to describe Remo, and I hope we will discover much more of who he is and what he stands for in our conversation. But just as a quick note, Remo is a pharmacist by training and holds a PhD in molecular biology and also holds an MBA. And I think that describes nicely his personal bridge between academia and the business, and also has worked himself in medical functions and drug safety, but has been working now many years as a business executive leader across various countries and regions. And I'm sure he's sharing with us a lot of examples, real life examples, when we talk about value. So without further ado, Remo, out of your personal experience, what does value really mean for you in healthcare? And related to that, what hurdles do you see on the way to create more sustainable value for the players and actors in healthcare?
Thank you very much, Verena, for the kind introduction. And you ask a very central question, which I think we always should ask ourselves on a continued basis, what ultimately the value is of the work and the care we provide in healthcare. And I think it should always be linked directly to the patient. And I would even go further and say it should be linked to the perceived benefit which is provided to the patient. And of course, from a pharmaceutical sector side, when we talk about the value of compounds or treatments, we often have hard endpoints from our studies in mind, like overall survival, progression-free survival, and so on. But when we move into the patient perspective, things like how many days do you stay in the hospital, or how long does it take to come back to work, or can you have an independent life like if you would be a healthy person? I think these kind of questions should be even more in the forefront as we talk and think about value in healthcare. But of course, you can also take a very broad perspective. For example, statistics tells us in the last 50 years, for example, medical innovation contributed to more than 50% of the overall economic growth. And of course, this is a complete different perspective you can have on value in healthcare. And I think that also leads us to the hurdles and the challenges you were alluding to in your question as well. And what I see as well is we see currently and experience a major paradox when it comes to the potential of science, the potential of innovation in healthcare, and the great value we get out of this. And then obviously also the investments in innovation, in research and development, which has tripled since the year 2000. And we can look at this across the whole healthcare sector. Pharmaceutical drugs from our industry side contributes around 12% of the total spend for healthcare, and that hasn't changed in the last 20 years. So it's a paradox which preoccupies us as a healthcare sector as a whole.
Yeah. I think just to, because you're making a series of wonderful points, and I think it's really kind of that very detailed look. You said, you know, at the end, it all matters what is perceived benefit to the patient and what we call the outcomes. But I also like your 50,000 feet view, and the number 50 is a really good reminder here for everybody. In the last 50 years, 50% of economic growth indirectly to through better health for the patient eventually. So I think those were great reminders.
I think what I wanted to say as well is probably we are more conscious about those drivers in healthcare as we look at healthcare costs on a regular basis. But of course, we can look at a broader scale as well, and we can look at pension funds, for example, and that has an indirect link as well to what ultimately we achieve with value in healthcare. We can look at the health, the life expectancy, how that has evolved in the last years. The more aging population we are in, and I think all these elements lead to the current challenges we are currently facing in the healthcare sector. So wealth and health has a positive correlation to each other. I think we've done great, as you mentioned as well, in the last 50 years, and I think we will do great in the coming decades as well. But we need to look forward and we need to plan ahead. And there are national policies which obviously need to be revisited in order to unlock the potential of value we can bring to the healthcare sector.
Yeah, so out of you mentioned national policies, and so I'd be interested, and I'm sure people are interested to hear from your various country experiences on how the different stakeholders work together between private sector and public sector, or let's say between industry and academia. And you mentioned already kind of that bridge between wealth and health, and we could almost say, you know, health and the progress in medicine that you alluded to. So in your any positive experiences where you say people could learn from what things, where things have worked well in overcoming certain hurdles on the way to that value generation, as you described, the paradox that we face and that we have to proactively manage that kind of quandary between innovation and affordability, or between progress and inefficiencies, et cetera. So any examples you can personally share on what has worked well in the various countries you've worked and lived?
You know, complexity in healthcare is huge, and then every healthcare system in the different countries has evolved over the last decade organically, where society or population comes from. But what every experience we have has in common, the level of collaboration, the mindset different stakeholders have, the way how we are able to share a joint vision, mm-hmm. and really understand about each other's interests, how we can, you know, further create value to the public, to society in healthcare. I think this is the foundation. And what I always observe in when you have the chance to intensify the dialogue among all stakeholders, and that includes the policymakers of course as well, next to the patient that healthcare providers, of course payers in the same way as well. This is where we really can unlock the benefit, you know, and to share these joint visions. And you know, for example, a current topic we address here in Switzerland is when is a time point where a patient should have access to novel treatments, and there is an unanimous alignment that it should be as early as possible. Ideally, it should be at day zero after regulatory approval. And I think if we can build on those anchors, on this joint vision, and then develop from the different angles in order to get there, I think this is what really unlocks let's say solutions and forward-looking thinking.
Yeah,
and then please.
That's a great example, I think, that you mentioned, and specifically Switzerland in this case. But I think this is probably a true statement anywhere, like day zero of regulatory approval, be it the FDA, EMA, or Swissmedic. I don't want to jump ahead too fast to say kind of how can digital help then, because I think with paper and pen and fax machines in the past, that was tough to hit that, you know, objective of day zero, but curious to hear where you're going later on with the digital efficiencies.
The digital efficiency, of course, unlocks even much more efficiencies in healthcare. So the digital, that the opportunity of digitization, whether it's data collection, it's data processing in the area of digital health, of mobile health. We can also then link that to artificial intelligence and machine learning, which obviously builds on digital data. The potential we still have ahead of us is tremendous. And probably the opportunities are not yet really fully understood across the whole value chain of drug development. We can talk about how we do basic research, how digitization and data can help us to improve efficiency in drug discovery. We apply a lot of machine learning as well in the way how we can increase the chemistry of the synthesis of some of our molecules in order to become more efficient in the way how we not only develop drugs, but also from the manufacturing side. But then also we can look at other areas let's take as an example, adverse event management, just the assessment of those reports, the classification, artificial intelligence and machine learning can help a lot to process and manage the big magnitude of the data, which is currently, but even more available in the future. And of course, we could add more examples where we see already in the clinic where we can use machine learning and artificial intelligence also in treatment decisions or in how diagnosis can be supported. So I really see it as a growth driver, but also as a tremendous efficiency driver for the future. There will be paradigm shifts. It will be, to a certain extent, also disruptive. We could talk about how we execute clinical trials, how we monitor studies. Are the same number of physical interactions, either from the industry side who runs the studies or from the patients and the healthcare providers who are involved, how many physical interactions are necessary, how much can be done remotely? I think a big question which was very evident in the context of the current pandemic with COVID. So there is so much more we can improve and become better also in the way how then studies and trials are accessible for individuals, for patients who not just live in the neighborhood of a hospital. Mm-hmm. So you see, these are just a few examples in the way mm-hmm. how I see digital transforming our industry and healthcare. And I still believe you are quite in the beginning.
Yeah. So with the bringing it back to how these efficiencies in drug development or in clinical research, as those new medicines get to the patient, you put forward a very strong ambition of day zero of regulatory approval. Do you see that these efficiency gains through AI and machine learning, be it, as you said, on the drug safety side, monitoring that the new medicine is safe, but also in terms of remote patient monitoring, how do you envision that ambitious goal that we collaboratively can achieve that to become more efficient in providing access earlier to approved drugs?
You know, things will not happen from today to tomorrow.
Exactly.
So on one side, you need to be patient. You need to have this big vision.
Yeah.
But and then sometimes people think that innovation happen this in big scales, but in reality innovation is much more happening on a day-to-day basis, and these are the opportunities where we need to build on. It's on one side, as I said before, the collaboration, the interfaces between the different stakeholders and actors. They have to become we have to become more integrated in the way how we work together and seek for solutions. But then when it comes to the solutions and the innovation we bring, we need to start with pilots, finding ideas which on what is in place today can bring us to the next step. And I think, for example, we have an initiative in place since a little bit more than a year, which is called All Can Switzerland. It builds on an international European initiative, and the idea behind is to find pilots and new ideas how we can increase efficiency in cancer care or for cancer patient treatments. And it's a multi-stakeholder platforms with representatives from payers, from the academia, from the industry, and so on. And then the ideas that come up, they are sometimes not obvious for one representatives, but it comes from another angle, and it really gives this holistic view on where we can make a difference. And I think with running those bringing those ideas to life, implement those pilots, expand them as they work, I think this is the way how to start.
Thanks for sharing that, Remo. I think the All Can platform, which is kind of deployed in one country, but which is really kind of an international initiative, can be done anywhere, right? To start with pilots and then share, I think, and learn and not be afraid that it's maybe not perfect in the first round, but to kind of co-create and collaborate together. Thank you very much. Anything else around mobile health and patient centricity that comes to mind from your experience?
I think from my perspective, patient centricity is core. So I think everything should start from that angle, and whether we work in basic research, whether we do drug development, or whether it's in the area of treatment decisions, and specifically when I think about the way how we introduce new therapies as well, and also focus our research, whether it's in oncology or in immunological diseases, the way how we were able to transfer patient outcomes just by treatments who bring the immune system to a different level of preparedness to attack diseases like cancer is a transformational step. And obviously there are many more questions that then come up as patients are able to prevail through those diagnoses and treatments. And I think this is where the collaboration also needs to become even more closer. We can look at public health as an area. We can talk about healthcare delivery, so more from the care side, but then also in the area of innovative research, and in all those areas you have a lot of transformational steps we can do with digital mm-hmm. and data management.
Yeah, so
I just want to say trust is probably a foundation which I just observed here in the country over the last couple of months, when you think about electronic patient dossiers, which we're still in its infancy here in the country. So we see other healthcare systems which are already much more advanced. And this is the foundation where we can further build on.
Yeah, as you said, and you mentioned data. So there's kind of no use of digital without the use of information and data points, be it from the research side, but also in terms of patient health management. It's kind of how well is the patient doing? How is the blood pressure? How is the blood sugar? How is, you know, the cancer evolving under the therapy, et cetera? All those, it's what we call the data points and subsumized under the term big data. And I think you mentioned something so critical, the word trust. Anything you can share out of your experience working with this digital revolution in healthcare and then on your on the pharmaceutical side, but also I think this is a generic conversation, and you mentioned electronic patient records slash dossiers, it's called in Switzerland, EPD. Anything in your mind that needs to happen more of to foster and strengthen that trust between the public and the private, maybe, but also between patients and providers and pharmaceutical, or between whatever player, right? It's really coming down to trust so that you let go your data and let them share with whoever needs to work on these data for the greater good.
Yeah, I see quite a discrepancy in the way how we trust, you know, in the electronic environment, because on one side we share a lot of private digital data on a daily basis, just in the way how we use our mobile devices and how we are active in the different social media environments. But then, of course, on the other hand, when it comes to health data, I think we have much more to gain and to win as well for the society at the end. And I think the benefits are not yet understood in the same way. And I think patient data, personal data, they are super sensitive. I think the trust and but also the confidence that this is handled in the right way. I mean, that's absolutely paramount. I think that's the foundation, and the way how then in a fair and transparent way, and of course in an anonymous way as well, healthcare data is managed by the different stakeholders. I think that this is key for many reasons, and in many occasions. Data privacy is used as a showstopper, but in fact it should be an enabler.